Lakers Carpool is brought to you by Hook Products USA. Truck lovers, tow hook covers finally are here. Introducing Tokes, a first-of-its-kind tow hook cover that is a great way to personalize your truck's factory tow hooks. Tokes are made in the USA out of high-grade silicone rubber that clasps right over your truck's factory tow hooks so it installs in seconds and no tools are needed. With colors red, white, blue, pink, and amber, and costing just $34.95 per pair, Tokes are a unique and affordable way to customize your truck. Go to hookproductsusa.com and head over to the compatibility tool to make sure that Tokes will fit over your truck's tow hooks. After that, checkout is super easy and your truck will be rocking its Tokes in no time. Again, that's hookproductsusa.com for Tokes, the original tow hook cover. Welcome to Lakers Carpool. My name is James Brooks. I'm your host. Thanks for joining me on today's episode. The Lakers are, you know, two steps forward, one step forward, two steps back. You know, since my last episode, the Lakers won two games and then went on to lose two games. So we're back to where we were. You know, in my last episode, we were one game below 500. We're now sitting at one game below 500. And just some disappointing losses for this Lakers team. You know, since my last episode, the Lakers went on to play the Bulls, got a win, a nice win, 141-132. The team overall just played really well. Looking at the box score, right, we had, you know, AD put up 22, D'Lo led the team with 29, LeBron had 25. We shot 64.5% from three on 31 attempts, 60.9% from the field on 87 attempts. Just shot, you know, our defense wasn't great. We gave up 132 points, but overall, a good offensive game, a game where we went out and just were the better team and got a nice win against a team that we should be beating, you know. So good win there. And then on Saturday, we played the Warriors in Golden State, our first game against the Warriors this season, and it was quite the barn burner of a game. The Lakers got the win in double overtime by 1 point, 145-144. LeBron drawing a foul as seconds were winding down and hitting two free throws to go up 1 point with barely enough time left for the Warriors to heave a cross-court shot and not make it. Now, it was a fun game, right? Like, the Lakers, they get a nice win against a division rival. Fun game, double OT, Steph versus LeBron. Overall, just a fun game, especially if you're a neutral observer. More of a frustrating game as a Lakers fan, mostly just because they're doing things that, you know, we shouldn't be in a game like this against the Warriors. The Warriors aren't that good this season. They're sitting at 19-20. Well, at the time of this game, they're sitting at 19-24 after the game. Lakers are a game above 500. I've been saying this. I think the Lakers are more talented than their record shows. But at the end of the day, like, it just, you know, we're bad rotations and whatnot. And, you know, this game almost was out of hand, right? We started the second half. We gave up 36 points in the third quarter, got outscored 36-23 in the third quarter by the Warriors. We're being more or less blown out by the Warriors. It was looking like a loss. The Lakers made a nice adjustment there in the fourth quarter, stepped up defensively, only gave up 19 points, scored 27 in the fourth. Obviously, that sent the game to overtime. Lakers ended up outscoring the Warriors, though, enough to get the win. And at the end of the day, wins are what matters, right? Of course, I would love for the Lakers to go out and blow out every team they play, but I'll take the win. But this game could have probably been a blowout on the Lakers' end. You know, there's a lot of consternation on Twitter about Darvin Ham and his rotations, you know, starting Taurean Prince. The fact that Darvin Ham has not even once this season tried to start the starting lineup that made it to the Western Conference Finals, you know, D'Lo, Reeves, Vando, LeBron, AD. I think he's still yet to try that starting lineup, which is just ridiculous. Like, you know, I understand, like, Taurean Prince provides offensively something that Jared Vanderbilt does not provide, but Jared Vanderbilt provides something defensively that Taurean Prince doesn't provide, and most players on this team do not provide. And when we're giving up 144 points to the Warriors, 132 points to the Bulls, 127 points to the Clippers, you know, moving on, like in the game since then, we lost to the Rockets 135-119. We lost to the Hawks 138-122, right? Like, we're just not playing defense. This team sucks at defense, and we're not playing the guys that play defense. I mean, like, Anthony Davis obviously plays, and like, he's a, you know, he's our best defender. But then we have, you know, Jared Vanderbilt, who is our probably our second best defender, our best wing defender, a guy that can, like Anthony Davis, almost cover any position. You know, Jared Vanderbilt, he's undersized. He's not going to be guarding centers and big men necessarily, but like, he is like the Anthony Davis of like the forward slash guard position almost, where it's like he can stay in front of Steph, and he can stay in front of Dame, and he can stay in front of some of the better guards and wing players that are out there. And you know, in this game, let's see, in the Warriors game, Jared Vanderbilt, he played 41 minutes, right? So he, and that's what everyone's saying, is like, Darvin Ham, obviously, like, he could not in his right mind play Taurean Prince over Jared Vanderbilt in those overtimes and when we're like really fighting to get the win there, you know. So he goes and he plays Vanderbilt 41 minutes off the bench. Taurean Prince only played 24 minutes in that game, mind you. And then we go the next game against the Rockets, right? Game in Houston. And Taurean Prince gets the start. Taurean Prince plays 25 minutes. Jared Vanderbilt off the bench, 7 minutes. And we lose 135-119. I mean, like, what are we doing here? You know, like, why are we moving off of what obviously works? Against the Hawks in our last game, looking at the box score, Taurean Prince starts again, 25 minutes. Jared Vanderbilt did get 6 minutes of play, or 26 minutes of playing, so he got one more minute of playing time than Taurean Prince. But it's like, what are we doing? Like, why are we moving off of what worked in the past and what works now? You know, in this game against the Hawks, where there was no Anthony Davis did not play in this game. Taurean Prince was a minus 18 in the game. Jared Vanderbilt, a minus 9. I mean, still not great, but better than a minus 18. You know, he was the worst performer of the starting five, Taurean Prince, minus 18 points. Like, it's just ridiculous. Like, he's obviously not providing enough offensively or defensively, even though he's maybe one of our better shooters and stuff. But, like, you know, when with a starting lineup of, if it's LeBron, Anthony Davis, D'Lo, Austin Reeves, and then Jared Vanderbilt, you have LeBron, Anthony Davis as your number one and number two, in no particular order, but number one, number two options offensively. And then you have D'Lo, who's, I mean, in January was out of his mind, averaging around 24 points a game, shooting like 60% from three, right? Like, D'Angelo Russell had a great January. So you have that scoring option. And then you have Austin Reeves, who's like, you know, he's been inconsistent this season. He's had his ups and downs and whatnot, but like, he's also a great scoring option. So like, you don't need that fifth scoring option in Taurean Prince starting and getting more minutes than a guy like Jared Vanderbilt, who's going to come out. He's going to be a dog. He's going to, you know, he's going to hound guys like Steph Curry and Damian Lillard. And, you know, just the thinking of like point of attack guards, point of attack, even forwards, right? Like the Paul Georges, like you're not going to have as much risk of getting a guy like Austin Reeves switched onto Kawhi Leonard or Paul George when you have Jared Vanderbilt out there who can, you know, you can kind of help counteract that a little bit. Like it will still happen at times. Like you can't perfectly counteract like, you know, picks and switching on picks and all that stuff. But like when you have a guy like Jared Vanderbilt out there next to Anthony Davis, those are two really great point of attack defenders, you know, that most teams don't have. And you can really help your case by not allowing over 130 points a game. And win, right? Like, the Lakers scored 122 points against the Hawks the other night. Like, you should be able to win that game scoring 122 points. Same thing with the Rockets, right? 119 points. Should be able to win that game against a team like the Rockets, you know? But the Lakers just decide they don't want to play defense. And, you know, I think when a team decides they don't want to play defense, I think that really a lot of that is from the top down. You know, like, people talk about offensive-minded coaches, defensive-minded coaches, and whatnot. And I think a lot of that comes from the top down, right? Like, I think that Darvin Ham does not value defense in the same way that someone like Frank Vogel did for the Lakers, right? Like, the Lakers were a dog of a team defensively when Frank Vogel coached them, right? And to be fair, you had certain guys that were better, right? Like, Avery Bradley was a better defensive guard than D'Lo or Austin Reeves is. We saw it with Dennis Schroeder, right? Dennis Schroeder last year, and even with Frank Vogel, right? He's a great defensive guard that we had and have let go multiple times, which, you know, it's tough. I you know, it is what it is. But like, someone like that is like exactly what we're missing. You know, I posted on the Lakers Carpool Twitter account that like, a highlight of Deuce McBride on the Knicks, right? Like, a great defensive effort, gets back, hits. I think he hit a three in the highlight, right? It's like, those are the kinds of, that's the kind of play we need from a guard. It's like hounding the ball handler, getting a steal, forcing a turnover, getting back and hitting a three or getting an assist or something like that. And it's like, we just don't have that. And Darvin Ham seems to care more about small ball lineups with good offense that were with players that are going to hit threes, right? Like, you're getting Torian Prince gets a bunch of minutes. Obviously, like Reeves, D'Lo, right? These guys that are like more offensive minded, 3-point shooters, versus like someone like Rui Hachimura, who is like, you know, he's not the best defender or best offensive player, but he's, you know, he was solid in that playoff run, you know? But Darvin Ham doesn't play him for some reason. I don't know. And like going into the season, I was high on Torian Prince, like especially for the price. I think he was like a 1-year, $4 million contract. Like, that's a steal for what Torian Prince can provide. But like, using him as much as we are in putting so much, like, he just can't be as good of a defender when he's also expected to be, you know, a high end, like 3-point shooter kind of player. You know, it's just, I don't know. I just don't like the way that Darvin Ham is utilizing him, especially now that Jared Vanderbilt is healthy. Like, I understood it at the beginning of the season. Jared Vanderbilt was hurt. We're waiting for him to come back. So Torian Prince gets thrown into that starter slot. But now that Jared Vanderbilt's back, like, throw him in there. He played 41 minutes against in a double OT game that we won by one, right? Like, there's a reason why Jared Vanderbilt was getting those minutes. And it doesn't make sense to me why Darvin Ham's like, all right, new game, back to the same old strategy. Like, you gotta switch things up. You know, and so the Lakers are now sitting at, you know, a game below 500. We've lost to some bad teams in the Hawks. We lost to the Rockets. Looking at the standings, we are sitting at 9th place in the Western Conference. We are, you know, the 8th place team in the Western Conference is Dallas, who's 26-22. They're 2.5 games ahead of us just in the 8th. Like, so far this season, the way things are playing out is not like last season, where we can just kind of like float around 500, maybe be a game or two games below 500, and then flip a switch and go and, you know, make a bunch of headway. Where like the fourth, you know, like last season, the fourth and fifth seed or something was like a game or two games ahead of like the eighth seed or ninth seed. Like, there was very little difference between the teams in the Western Conference last season. Whereas so far, this season, it's not shaking out that way. You know, we're 10.5 games back from first place. We are 10 games back from fourth place. We are 4.5 games back from fifth place. You know, like, at this point in the season, when you're past halfway through the season, like, a 4-game difference is hard to make up, you know. Maybe Sacramento goes on a losing streak. Maybe the Lakers can figure things out and go on a winning streak. But it's like, at a certain point, you know, you are who you are. You are where you're at, and the Lakers are looking at another, you know, another play-in tournament berth for the playoffs this season. And it's just, you know, I think I go back and forth on it, right? Like, you see on the Eastern Conference side of things, like, Miami does the same thing. They kind of dilly-dally through the regular season, make the play-in tournament, and then go make the finals, right? I think the difference, though, with the Lakers, with this team in the Western Conference, we're not a contender right now. Not even close, you know. Like, not if we don't play defense. Like, if the team steps up and can play some defense, then sure. You know, if we play Jared Vanderbilt an appropriate amount of minutes, if AD is healthy, if Rui Hachimura can go in there and bang around down low and get some rebounds and play defense, if Christian Wood can step up and play defense like we saw early on in the season, where he's stepping up and guarding guys like Kevin Durant on big possessions late in the game, you know, if we can get that kind of production defensively from this team, then sure, like, we could maybe make a run again. But Darvin Ham doesn't seem to value defense, which is just really shocking, because it's important, you know. All the best, if you like, it is rare that a team that wins finals or wins multiple finals are bad defensively. It just is what it is. Like, there, the mantra defense wins championships is a mantra for a reason. You know, it, in all sports, not just basketball, football, you know, baseball. Defense is weird in baseball, but like baseball, hockey, you know, defense matters. You know, you've got to stop the other team from scoring in order to win. It's almost more important than scoring yourself. So it's just shocking to me that Darvin Ham doesn't put more of an emphasis on playing defense. You know, I think part of it also, the issue is you have the two leaders on the team, right? You have Anthony Davis, LeBron James. LeBron James is 39 years old. He's, the fact that he's playing, you know, 34, 35 minutes a game is pretty impressive considering his age and all that stuff and the numbers he's putting up. It's great. You know, it's great to see that he's feeling good enough to do that. But with those minutes and with all that comes less effort defensively from LeBron. And that's somewhat understandable. You know, I give him a little bit of a pass at this point in his career because he's almost 40 years old. You know, you know, if you're going to make a playoff run, you need LeBron to kind of like pick and choose his minute, you know, where he's putting a lot of effort in versus where he's kind of sleepwalking, so to speak. Anthony Davis, for the most part, I would say he steps up and plays solid defense most games. You know, there are some games, obviously, where he doesn't show up and whatever. But I feel like with Anthony Davis, most of him not showing up is felt a little bit more on the offensive end. You know, like he just can't hit a shot, can't make a layup, whatever, for whatever reason. He just doesn't have it on any given night. Versus defensively, like, he'll step up and he's playing pretty good defense most nights. I do think Anthony Davis does have, you know, it's an uphill climb for him defensively because our guards and our perimeter defense sucks. So you're constantly getting penetration into the key. And then from that point, once you get guards penetrating into the key, you're kind of screwed because you can, unless like the help defense is pristine, right? You can dump off to the big man. You can throw an alley-oop. You can, you know, there's a ton of options offensively once the guards start penetrating that make it really hard for the big man defensively. And props to Anthony Davis for being as elite as he has been defensively with such a bad perimeter defensive team as the Lakers have been the last couple seasons. So, but all that to be said is, you know, like I was saying earlier, everything goes from the top down, right? So you have Darvin Ham, who does not value defense. You have LeBron James, who sleepwalks on defense a lot of games, right? Which, again, his age, I kind of get it. I would love to see more, but also at the same time, you don't want to burn out he's one of your best players. He's 39 years old. Like, it just kind of comes with the territory. And then AD, right? It's like, overall, he's been really solid this season, but there have been times where it's like, what's up with AD? Where is he? Like, why? He's playing, but he doesn't look like he showed up to play. And then, like, all that stuff just goes downhill, right? You have Torian Prince, D'Lo, Austin Reeves, like, who are defensive liabilities. Jared Vanderbilt's the only guy defensively that really seems like he's really putting in a lot of effort, no matter who he's covering. And so it's just like, if it's not valued from the top down, then why do you expect, or how can you expect your role players to step up and like be dogs on defense when your coach doesn't seem to care about it? One of your best players himself doesn't do it, although maybe he can get a pass on it, but like there just isn't enough emphasis and value on hard-nosed defensive play. And this team roster-wise isn't built to be a defensive team, right? Like, our two guards, Austin Reeves and D'Lo, are not good defenders. You know, D'Lo has stepped up a little bit, and I think like when you see D'Lo put some effort in defensively, he actually can be a decent defender. Austin Reeves, he's kind of just undersized. Like, I don't know, you know, there's room to grow. Obviously, like, when it comes to basketball, right, like, young players don't just grow offensively, they can grow defensively as well. So, like, you know, Reeves being so young in his career, I don't think he's, like, labeled a bad defender for the rest of his life or rest of his career in the NBA, but there's a lot to work on. You know, he's getting headhunted by Paul George, the Paul Georges and Kawhis of the NBA, and there's no answer for it. And the Lakers have to be better strategically to help prevent that and not put Reeves in that position. But at this point in his career, he is a defensive liability to a certain degree. If he gets switched on to a bigger player or a quicker guard, etc. So that's where I see the main issue with the Lakers is just defensively. You know, offensively, like I said, we're putting up numbers that we should be able to win games. You should be able to win a game when you're scoring almost 120 points or 125 points or whatever, right? Like the Lakers almost lost a game, albeit double overtime, but like almost lost a game where they scored 140 points, right? So it's like the offensive talent is there, and I'm not worried about that. I don't think that that's the Lakers' problem. I just think that they don't play defense, right? Defense leads to good offense. I've said it almost every episode in the last like year or so when I do this podcast. It's like you see when the Lakers play defense, like that leads to fast breaks. It leads to obviously like you get a turnover, you force a missed shot, right? You can outlet it. You're putting the other team on their heels to get back, right? It puts you in the driver's seat when you play good defense. It puts you in the driver's seat offensively. So instead of being forced to play half court offense because they keep hitting shots on you or whatever, you know, I think that's just like one of the bigger issues with the Lakers this season. Again, it all boils down to defense, in my opinion. Everyone on Twitter is like, what would you fix with this Lakers team? Or what's wrong with the Lakers? You know, name one problem with the Lakers. It's like every answer for me is defense. It all comes down to defense. Lakers aren't bad offensively. Like they can, sure, they might be inconsistent. They might not be like the best offensive team in the league or whatever, but like, they have plenty of offensive talent. It's the defense where we're really lacking, and we have a coach that doesn't care about that or doesn't seem to care. He's not willing to make permanent adjustments to make us better defensively. I'll say that. And that's what it all comes down to. Like in the last episode, we're talking about trades, right? Like we can get to trades now. Like we're a week away from the trade deadline now. It's February 1st. Trade deadline is February 8th. And everyone's wondering what the Lakers are going to do, right? Are the Lakers able to make a trade for DeJounte Murray from the Hawks, right? If you watch that Hawks-Lakers game, he had a pretty good compelling reason for the Lakers to make a trade for him, right? He was really good offensively, and he was really good defensively. You know, I think he put up like 23 points on the Lakers. D'Lo, it was D'Lo's first bad game in probably like, I don't know, off the top of my head, like seven games, maybe more. You know, D'Lo's been good offensively. So I give him a little bit of a pass, but like you're going up against the guy that there's trade rumors about for you, and you're going to put up like what, 9 points or whatever he had. You know, DeJounte Murray really made a convincing argument for the Lakers trading for him. Now I've seen on Twitter and whatnot that the Hawks are looking for Austin Reeves for Murray. And that the Lakers are, you know, for right now, Reeves is an untouchable player for them, which is tough because Reeves, it's a tough situation. I get it, right? Like he's on a really nice contract for the Lakers, right? I think he's only like $12 million a year or something like that. He's a young player. He's shown a lot of promise in the playoffs as a young player, right? So in that sense, there's only room for improvement for someone like Austin Reeves. And so it can be hard to like trade him away considering all that, right? Especially if you're thinking about like life after LeBron, you know, are you going to get rid of all of your young assets and draft picks and stuff to go win now with LeBron or for the chance to win now and maybe you don't win now? Or are you going to hold on to some guys like Reeves and stuff and try and make a run with those guys, you know? And I get that. I think Reeves is a guy that you want to hold on to for both reasons, right? Like you want to keep your young guys. He's shown that he's good enough to at least help the team get to the Western Conference Finals. So I like that. I like that. And I understand that side of things. I think it's a little crazy to say that anyone on this team is untouchable at this point. You know, I think I understand maybe the LeBron or Anthony Davis argument, right? Being untouchable just because like they're still two of the best players in the NBA right now. Especially when they're again healthy and playing well, which they have been this season. But from then on, you know, it sucks because I like Rui Hachimura, I like D'Angelo Russell, I like Austin Reeves. I would love very much for them to be a part of this team in a contending fashion. But the way that the team has been put together so far, it's not a contending. They're not contenders. You know, does trading for DeJounte Murray make the Lakers contenders? At this point, probably not. Honestly, if I'm being honest, right? Like he does provide more defense than we have. He does provide another scoring option. He's a quick guard. You know, he's not as good of a three-point shooter as D'Angelo Russell, so maybe he doesn't space the floor quite as well as D'Lo can. But I think what you give up in three-point shooting, you get in defense. And again, you look back at like the Lakers' best season recently, which was when they won the championship in 2019-2020, and like we didn't have great three-point shooting that season, right? We had guys like KCP, Avery Bradley, Kyle Kuzma, who would like step up and randomly have really good three-point shooting games, but none of them were really elite all season from a stats standpoint. If you go back and look like at what they averaged and stuff, it was never like, oh, this guy was averaging 45% from three or 41% from three, right? They were all like in the 30s range, and they just happened to like get hot randomly. And you know, that whole season we were talking about like, who's the Lakers' third best player? Do they need to get a third best player? Blah 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 blah. And it was always someone different that stepped up. It was Alex Caruso, it was KCP, it was Kuzma, it was Avery Bradley, it was even hell, you know, Dwight Howard sometimes, or JaVale McGee, right? Like those teams, that team, right? Like it was every night a different person was stepping up alongside Anthony Davis and LeBron James. So that argument goes back to, in this case, right? It's like, I don't think we need someone that, well, okay. The way that Frank Vogel coached the team, you didn't need a guy that was like a bona fide, like really good, sharp shooting three-point shooter. Maybe the way that Darvin Ham's coaching this team, you do need that. Or at least that's what he values, and that's what you need. That's what he wants, I should say. You know, people have said like DeJounte Murray is just going to be like another Westbrook situation. I think DeJounte Murray will be better both defensively and offensively than Russell Westbrook was for the Lakers. So I don't think that's something to worry about. But also, like, I think I saw something from Woj saying, like, you know, Laker fans need to temper their expectations. Maybe a deal doesn't get made this season. You know, if it comes down to, like, the Lakers could get a star, a third star in the offseason, that the Lakers just kind of count their losses this season. They hold on to their draft pick and move into the offseason and go from there. So it'll be interesting to see what happens. You know, I would like to see the Lakers go all out for it, you know. Obviously, like, you never know what's going to happen with LeBron James. He's old. He could retire any moment. I think his contract gives him a chance to opt out next season. So, like, he could just leave the Lakers next season, which is why, you know, Kevin O'Connor, I retweeted it. Kevin O'Connor put out an article basically saying, like, should the Lakers and LeBron James part ways? And I think if you're, like, looking on paper, the answer probably is yes, which is kind of crazy. But, you know, the Lakers would never trade LeBron James. One, because of how good he is still. And two, because they, you know, Lakers, Jeannie Buss and the Lakers pride themselves on treating their stars right. So they would never trade away LeBron James after he brought a championship to the league or to the Lakers. And also, like, he's LeBron James, right? Like, unless it was like a mutual split where like both parties wanted it kind of thing, you know, you're not going to trade him and like burn bridge with LeBron James, who's like the face of the NBA and probably will be for a long time. So but on paper, I mean, like, trading LeBron James kind of makes sense because he's a big contract. Whoever you could get for him would help you. You know, they would be younger because he's old, right? They would be younger naturally. You don't risk the chance of him walking for nothing. So there's a lot of different reasons why trading LeBron James would make sense. And I've talked about this for the last few seasons, actually. I've said it wouldn't be crazy for the Lakers to trade LeBron James. It'll never happen, but it wouldn't be crazy. It would be like in a black and white world, in a vacuum, it would make sense. It would make a lot of sense, actually. You know, LeBron James helps the Lakers a lot, but there's a lot of things he does right now that's holding them back a little bit, right? Like I mentioned, defensively, he holds them back a little bit. I think right now it's hard because, like, you're going on a playoff run. Who do you want on your team? And I think LeBron James is still high on that list, even considering his age and stuff. Like, he still is high on the list of guys you want on your team in a playoff run. So if the Lakers can manage to make the playoffs, then he'll be valuable to have on the team 100%. It would be nice if LeBron could give the Lakers, like, the Otani treatment and, like, restructure his contract so they're not paying him, like, $45 million a year or whatever it is. Because at a certain point, like, even though he's still producing offensively, like, he's still scoring, like, 25 points a game or whatever it is, like, the aging player with a super high contract, that's what we saw with Kobe, right? For instance, like, you know, it was great that Kobe was made a Laker for life. Looking back on it, you know, like, it was, like, that's special, especially now considering, like, Kobe's passed away and all that stuff. Like, it was nice to like not see Kobe play for another team and stuff. Like I like that as a Lakers fan and as a Kobe fan and all that stuff. But like we can't lie and say that like Kobe's contract screwed the Lakers over from a contending standpoint, right? Like the Lakers decided to pay Kobe Bryant, an aging star, you know, because we quote unquote take care of our stars, but it put us in a position where we were awful for, you know, seven seasons from like, I don't know what year it was that his contract where he like got paid or whatever, but like by the time once he, you know, tore his Achilles in like 2013, right? That was the beginning of the end, right? Like from 2013 to when LeBron came in 2018 or 2019, right? That's like six or seven seasons. We were bad. And it was because we decided to pay Kobe Bryant, who, and again, you can't foresee things like a torn Achilles and stuff, but like you just know that they're aging, right? Like they, as much as it, as a star might mean to your team, you can't strap yourselves up with a contract like that. So it'd be awesome if LeBron James, you know, like somehow was able to restructure his contract to kind of help the Lakers out a little bit or whatever. But, you know, I would be very surprised if something like that happened. And I don't even know if the CBA and the NBA allows for things like that, like what Ohtani did with the Dodgers. I'm sure maybe there's something you could do where like he just agrees to a smaller contract or something, but you probably can't like defer it the same way that Ohtani did with the Dodgers. But all that to say is the Lakers need to do something to become contenders. Whether it's, again, like going for it, trading for DeJounte Murray. But like maybe the Lakers can't even come to an agreement with the Hawks. And at that point, like what's the option there, right? If you can't come to an agreement with the Hawks on a trade for DeJounte Murray, what's the next best option? I think the next best option is just ride it out with this team, hope that Darvin Ham figures it out, and you can go on a run again, you know, make the play-in tournament, make the playoffs, see what happens. But I think that, unfortunately, Darvin Ham making it to the Western Conference Finals last season bought him this season. You know, I don't think that as frustrating as his mentality is as a coach and his rotations have been and his decisions to not play Jared Vanderbilt on a consistent basis and all that stuff, I think him making the Western Conference Finals last season bought him this season to the point where they won't fire him this season. So if he doesn't make the playoffs, I think he gets fired. If we have a disappointing performance in the playoffs, I think he gets fired. It's possible that anything barring a finals appearance gets him fired, is my opinion. He seems to have lost the team. You know, you have Christian Wood tweeting out LOL before the game against the Hawks where Anthony Davis sat out and Jackson Hayes got the start over Christian Wood. You have all these pictures, right? And there's screenshots, so it's like you don't necessarily know the context of it, but like you have these screenshots of like AD and LeBron like glaring at the back of Darvin Ham's head. You know, you have reporters asking Anthony Davis about like the lineup with Jared Vanderbilt, the lineup that got the Lakers to the Western Conference, and him and, you know, and Anthony Davis being like, "Oh, that's up to the coach." You know, it's like that doesn't sound like a player that's happy with the situation and the decisions that are being made by the head coach. So that's a little frustrating for sure, to just see the team like seem like they're in disarray. But at the same time, like, this is what you get when you sign, you know, the Lakers signed a rookie head coach, and he did make it to the Western Conference Finals in his first season with the Lakers, and which was, you know, better than how the season started and all that stuff. Like overall last season, outside of getting swept by Denver, was like a successful season, all things considered. Even though I know as Lakers fans, like we consider a successful season as a season that ends with a ring. For all intents and purposes, last season was a successful season. So I understand the Lakers not wanting to, like, you know, like the front office not wanting to like be swift and move off of Darvin Ham so quickly. But at the same time, he seems to have kind of lost the locker room from what I've seen on, you know, like interviews with players, obviously like Christian Wood tweeting out LOL, like those types of things. Doesn't seem like he has a whole lot of respect anywhere, you know, from like Lakers fans, Lakers players. It just seems like it's a mess right now. And I don't think trading D'Angelo Russell necessarily fixes that, right? Like, who's to stop Darvin Ham from from benching DeJounte Murray or something stupid like that? Like, you know, you never know. So we'll see. The Lakers play the Celtics tonight. Just a little preview. The game's in like 3 hours from when I'm literally talking about this right now, so you might not hear this before the game starts necessarily. But Anthony Davis and LeBron James are sitting out of that game. So Celtics by 70, I guess, is my prediction. Like, I don't even know what to expect. But it's just a bummer, right? Like, the last few games, right? Like, part of it's like unfortunate, you know, to have to play two overtimes on Saturday against the Warriors, and then in a game where Anthony Davis did tweak like his groin or something in that game, by the way. He came back and played well, and that was great, and he said he was fine. But then against the Rockets on Monday, he seemed like he was like not moving as well, treating it a little gingerly. Şengün just destroyed the Lakers and Anthony Davis from an offensive standpoint, and LeBron also played against the Rockets, and then against the Hawks on Tuesday, it was a back-to-back. Anthony Davis doesn't play. LeBron James does play, which I was surprised about. I thought they would have had LeBron sit that game, knowing that we're playing the Celtics coming up on Thursday today. LeBron plays on Tuesday. The Lakers get blown out by the Hawks, and now Thursday in Boston against the Celtics, a game that like a lot of Lakers fans look forward to. You know, like I look forward, even though the Celtics likely were going to win this game, and they kind of destroyed us on Christmas Day this season. Like, as a Lakers fan, I look forward to the two games a year we get to play the Celtics, right? Like, it's fun to play, you know, like the rivalry and stuff, which hasn't really felt like as much of a rivalry lately. I've been kind of thinking about that, but like there's still a rival, historic rivalry, all that stuff, right? It's like it's just, I look forward to watching those games. Lakers Celtics is a vibe. It's fun. It's always nationally televised. It's a fun game. And so the decision to play LeBron on Tuesday and then not play well enough to win that game, because I understand, like, if it was like between getting a win against the Hawks versus a win against the Celtics, right? It's like, I would rather beat the Celtics than the Hawks, but also at the same time, like, the Hawks was in theory the low hanging fruit. That's the easy win in theory. So you take that win thinking like, okay, you know, we're underdogs against the Celtics. We'll probably lose the Celtics. Let's at least get the win against the Hawks, right? Like, I understand that mindset, but then to go and get blown out by the Hawks, have LeBron play back to back, and now he's not playing against the Celtics. And it's like, okay, well, we're just phoning this one in game. You know, it's 100% a scheduled loss at this point. So that's just unfortunate and a bit of a bummer. So I don't expect the Lakers to win tonight against the Celtics unless they can, you know, maybe D'Lo can like go off for like 23s and score 60 points or something. Like that's the only chance the Lakers have of winning this game. Maybe Jared Vanderbilt will actually play some minutes and play some defense, and maybe we can actually shut down the Celtics or something. But I mean, the Celtics, they have like one loss at home or something. So Lakers are not going to win this game. You can mark it here. You've heard it here first. Like, Lakers are not winning this game, especially without Anthony Davis or LeBron James. So it is what it is. I mean, it was gonna be a tough game even with LeBron James and Anthony Davis. So, but again, it's always a bummer to like not have your best against teams that are good, and especially teams that are the Celtics. So definitely gloomy vibes here in Laker Nation. It's been a bit of a bummer of a season so far, especially considering that Anthony Davis and LeBron James have been so healthy this season, right? It's like they've been this healthy and we're struggling, right? At least like last season, like they weren't really healthy and we were struggling, and then once they got healthy, we were good. Whereas this season, it's like they're healthy and we suck. So that's a bummer. And you know, I think, again, at the end of the day, it all comes down to the defense, in my opinion, and we haven't done enough to be a good defensive team or elite defensive team to even, like, we're a first round knockout at this point. Like we're getting knocked out of the first round of the playoffs if we make the playoffs, based on how we play defense. But like I've said before, you look back at the in-season tournament, right, where it's like, and who knows, like maybe I'm just full of BS and like maybe the other teams didn't care and the Lakers were the only team that cared and that's what it was. Like maybe my radar is off on like teams that care, but it seemed like teams cared. Lakers played good defense. Lakers played good basketball. They went undefeated and won the whole thing. That's enough proof to me that they can do it, but they're just not doing it. And I don't know if that's a coaching thing or a player thing or a mix of both. It's probably a mix of both. But at the end of the day, it's frustrating either way as a fan to put so much time and commitment and focus on a team that you get entertainment out of and fun out of, and it's enjoyable. Or at least it's supposed to be. And it just hasn't been that for the majority of this season. So hopefully the Lakers can figure things out. I don't think it'll start tonight against the Celtics, but it is what it is. Thank you all for listening, and go Lakers. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Lakers Carpool. If you enjoyed the episode, please rate and review on Apple Podcasts and share it on social media with your friends. You can find the podcast on Anchor, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or most places where you listen to podcasts. Again, thank you so much for listening, and go Lakers.
2.1 seconds remaining. Denver a foul to give. Jokic trying to disrupt Rondo. He puts it in. Here's Davis, 4-3 in the win.